Late last week, Congresswoman Val Hoyle announced a $30 million allocation for the port of Coos Bay. Val Hoyle is joining me by phone right now. And Congresswoman Hoyle, tell me a little bit about how this came to be.
Well, we've been working on this since I got into office, basically picking up where Peter DeFazio left off and really focusing on making sure that the Port of Coos Bay intermodal project moves forward and that we can bring Oregon taxpayer dollars home to invest in this incredibly important project. Because as we've talked about before, by expanding the Port of Coos Bay, we will reduce the supply chain congestion on the West Coast by 10 to 12%. And this will create 8,000 jobs on the South Coast. But this will also be the first container to rail port that we have on the West Coast. So investing in upgrades to rail is just as important as investing in the terminal and also the dredging to allow ships to be able to come in.
So this almost $30 million, this has to be used for certain projects in association with
the
Coos Bay update? Okay. And that would include dredging and updating the rail system?
Well, actually not. So there's three. We've actually gotten over the, this week, we've gotten allocated $74 million, which is a big deal. The first was last week, which was a $25 million grant for engineering and design of the intermodal terminal component of the project. And then these grants are specifically for rail, so $29.7 million rail-specific improvements for the Coos Bay rail line, examining, you know, the viability of tunnels, bridges, and crossings along the route from the Port of Coos Bay to Eugene or Millersburg, and then improvements in the Eugene Railroad, West Eugene Rail Yard to accommodate the increased Coos Bay rail line traffic. And then, you know, this investment is both needed and has been needed for a long time, regardless of the port, but also is a critical part of how we can have the first container to rail port in the on the West Coast. And these containers will be going right out to the Midwest, which means that we're taking a lot of diesel trucks off the road. So this really helps us invest in our transportation infrastructure and make things greener. We also got a $19 million grant that will replace, help us replace 1960-era diesel locomotives with battery-operated replacements. So that reduces diesel consumption by 13,000 gallons each year. And that's not a small thing either. So all of these things will work together towards a common purpose. In terms of the dredging, that's going to be a separate grant. These are planning grants and investments in our rail infrastructure. But $74 million over the past week is a pretty darn good thing. And there are a lot of people that have worked together to fight for this, business and labor, people in transportation. And I cannot say enough about the staff at the Port of Coos Bay who have really, really just been unbelievable in how they've worked towards making things better for the South Coast.
How much do you know about the viability of these electric engines? Have you done any research on that, or has any of your staff looked into the changing over of that and how well this will be suited for rail lines?
Absolutely. Working with, you know, private-public investments. So working with Georgia Pacific, and again, nothing that is going to be done. We're not going to be putting in any kind of batteries that haven't been tested to know that these will be a very, very good replacement, and they are very viable.
So let me ask you, when you say a 12% reduction in congestion, do you have a sense of what that volume is then? Cause sort of, I mean, I can see 12%, but not really knowing how difficult it is. How much volume does that look like?
So what is it? There's a couple of things. I mean, we're talking about 1.2 million containers per year. And what I have to remind people is that in the 1970s, the port of Coos Bay was the third busiest port in the world when we were shipping lumber, right? So this is not, this doesn't even reach those levels that we had in the 1970s. But reducing congestion is partially about volume, but it also is, as we have manufacturers and both here and abroad who are receiving our exports, doing more just-in-time ordering, we want to make sure that people can get their goods just in time. So if you have a whole bunch of containers that are held up at the Port of Long Beach, right, if we can take just some of those off, it really helps the entire system move quicker and better and more smoothly. So it's both number and then allowing us to have more options for where containers to can come in. And I think it's really important that this will be a green energy operated port that, again, will send containers directly from container to rail. And that's, you know, something that I really believe that we need to invest in.
Now, you said a lot of this is design and engineering. What about when it comes into use? Is there a plan for allocating more money at that point to help out with that part of the infrastructure?
So the first thing that we have to do is, again, the design and engineering, it does cost a lot of money. We also have North Point, who will be building and operating the terminal. They're a private company. They're prepared to invest another $2 billion. But we have to have the right design. The money for the terminal, the $25 million, what's called an infra award, that will also help with the permitting process and the environmental review process. It is really critical that we do all of our due diligence before we move forward and specifically have community outreach, including tribal outreach and having the interested parties at the table, and that we do a full environmental review. We're not going to sideline environmental considerations just for jobs, but we can do both things. Pass a good environmental review, adhere to those laws, and bring jobs in while we're investing in a greener economy.
All right. That sounds like good information. Sounds like good work, too.
It's very exciting. And I will tell you, we came down, we found out last week about the infra grant, and then we did a small press conference down in Coos Bay. And with 12 hours notice, we had over 40 people show up. And every single one, and it was people from labor, from business, from law enforcement, from, you know, just local community members and the port. And people were excited because there have been so many projects that have been promised to the South Coast, because when the timber industry crashed, we were promised a just transition into other jobs. And what we did was we just transitioned into no replacement jobs, right? Like to nada. So people have lost hope that any of these projects were going to become a reality. And what I saw last week and what I've seen as I've talked to people throughout this entire week is that people have hope again that we can have that kind of strong economy that allows people on the South Coast to have access to middle-class jobs where they can be prosperous and their kids don't have to move away in order to have those opportunities. And there's a true excitement as people see this really becoming a reality. So I'm just happy to be able to be a part of it and to work with all the people who are invested in making this happen, including our senators, Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley. And I will tell you that this is one of the projects that has bipartisan support in Congress across the board. The Republican chair of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, all the Republicans and Democratic congressional reps in the Pacific Northwest and in Northern California. So I believe this will move forward regardless of what happens with the election, and that's what matters. These kinds of investments in infrastructure should not be partisan, and we've worked really hard to make it so.
Well, the nice thing about it, too, is the benefits from this will seep all up and down the coastline in retail, in restaurants, in hotels, in housing. it's just going to, sounds like it's going to be a big benefit all the way around.
Yeah, in manufacturing, we've talked to our, our ranchers and our farmers. They will be able to get their goods to market more quickly and with less expense. And that's important. So that, you know, export is a really, really big part of the Oregon economy. And, you know, anything we can do to help our local producers and manufacturers, I think we should do. And it's, you know, we shouldn't just have to rely on the Portland metro area to be the economic engine for the state. You know, the South Coast used to be an economic engine, and I'm really excited to see it happen again.
Congresswoman Hoyle, thank you so much for spending time with me today, and good luck.